For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Yardie Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
We are back for a very fun WWYBD. This is our monthly Q&A segment where you guys send in questions and we do our best to answer them. We have some juicy questions today talking about potential open relationships, figuring out moving, if travel is something that you should keep doing even if your family doesn't want you to, and more. So hang with us. We're going to catch up first, share our peaks of the week, and then we'll get into it.
Yay, amazing. Okay, what's going on in your life? Give us a quick update.
Oh my gosh. I think a lot has happened since you and I both sat down to talk last time. How are we going to keep this to 20 minutes?
I know.
Okay. Well, last week I pre-recorded. So I went to Omaha not a few days ago, but the week and before that. And when I tell you guys I had my weekend in 30-minute time blocks, it was crazy. I had so much to do because I only went back for 4 days. And it was like, how do I do this open buying event at the shop, plus some of the other projects I needed to do, see all the people, work out, some other events, so into a sound bath, some plank classes, yoga. And like, I just had to be so diligent there. And it's hard. It requires so much self-control because when I'm seeing each person, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I miss you. I want to just catch up forever. But like, we literally only have this hour coffee date or this yoga class together because I have to move on. And if I get behind, then the next person is going to get cut short or the buying event is going to get like fucked up. So it was really hard to enforce boundaries. It was kind of my takeaway from that is I'm like, well, I'm still really bad at this. And I hold so much guilt when I set a boundary. Like, I don't know why I feel so bad about being like, okay, this was fun, but like, I have to go. Like, it's not a bad thing to say. But if for some reason, I feel guilty that I can't just hang out with people for 8 hours like you could in college where you're like laying on people's beds like, oh, shoot, should we go to class now?
Yeah. And you're busy. And like, you're right. You only have so much time in the day.
I know. But it was a really, really good trip back. And then this week, I was just getting into my routine here. I think I'm finally feeling mostly settled. The last suitcase of things I brought from Omaha when I came back was like those miscellaneous things that I was really missing, like my spices. That sounds so dumb, but I'm like, damn, feels really good to have like salt and paprika on my food again. And like my maca powder and my protein powder and like some miscellaneous bathroom stuff that just does make a difference day to day. And then I had a fun solo beach day yesterday. If you guys come to Tulum, please go to Bagatelle. It's like Bagatelle. It's French, so I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's such a vibe. It was so much fun. And Peaches was the star of the show, as always. Like, she's getting VIP treatment everywhere in Tulum, but I was like, can I take her to a beach club? Like, are they gonna let her in? Oh, yes. She was living large, and a couple even came up to me. We were not previously talking. There was no prior interaction. They came up and said, could we borrow your dog for photos? And they went over to this like Instagram heart wicker thing that's like their photo wall there. And this couple is just like taking pictures with Peaches. And I'm like, wow, Peach, you're a star.
No, I expect nothing less from Peach. Like, that's so her. She really is so the star of the show.
Yep. And then what else happened?
Wait, you know who Peach reminds me of?
Who?
the dog in Cheetah Girls, that's like the star of the show, Toto. Do you remember the Cheetah Girls? I don't know why I've never thought of this. But the dog is like the one that like ends up saving the day because she like dances or something in the middle and like it rallies everyone together. It's like Peach is Toto from Cheetah Girls.
Peach is for world peace, bringing everyone together.
No, literally. If some dog, if there's a dog that had to do it, it's Peach's.
Well, thank you. I'll pass along the message and tell her to get on it.
Boost her ego. Ugh, she doesn't need it.
No, she does not need it. Well, how was your last 2 weeks?
No, is there anything else? Sorry.
No. I have a drama-filled story, but I'm going to save it for the December Patreon.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. We gotta save all the good stuff for the Patreon. If you guys are missing out, you're missing out. Like, I don't even know if you know what you're missing out on, but we got a lot of people in the Patreon now, and there's a reason. We'll just say that.
Facts. Okay, you've had a very exciting 2 weeks.
I know. I'm like, I also don't know how we're going to catch up, but I'll just say everything. And then I feel like if random things come up, I can think of it too. But yes, just been running around like crazy. You're right. I feel like so much has happened since we recorded last. Last time we chatted, I was in Thailand. I had a week off and I was with Hannah. And that was at the beginning of the trip. Yeah, she'd like just gotten there. And we had such a week in Thailand. I was going to originally do it solo. And then I mentioned to Hannah that I was going to be by myself. And she was like, wait, can I join you? Because it's her birthday. And we seriously had like the best week ever. Like, that's going to set my travel expectations so high because we just had such an amazing week. We spent 4 days in Chiang Mai, which is just such an amazing town. I mean, I don't even know how to recap all this. I just feel like there's just too much to say. But 4 days in Chiang Mai, and then we did like 3 days in northern Thailand. Apparently, there was a huge lantern festival going on like the day we were leaving. So we thought about changing our flights and staying in Chiang Mai for it was called the Loy Krahan Lantern Festival. But then we actually would have gotten stranded leaving because all the flights are booked out for the next 3 days. So not only was there this major lantern festival that we did not know about and we like could not go because everything was sold out, then all the hotels were sold out in Chiang Mai. So we're like, let's just go stay out in the countryside. Not only is it going to be like cheaper, but like we literally didn't have any other options. So we spent like 3 days in this homestay, which is like kind of like a bed and breakfast. You like stay in a couple's house out in the country. And we stayed with Kevin and Pansa, the cutest freaking couple. Kevin's from New Zealand. Pansa was Thai. And they have this house, have these dogs. It's just like this beautiful home out in the country. So we went out there, stayed there, went to the national park out there, explored, did like lots of nature stuff. And that was like a very different experience, like staying in a hotel and stuff. So that was really cool. And they were so sweet and like their dogs are so cute. And if you want something more naturey and like close to a national park, I highly recommend that. And we spent a whole day in Doi Ithanaon National Park, which I have so many thoughts, but something that sticks out with that day is we were on this hike and you kind of like, you pay a guide to take you around the park. And one of the things includes this like little 2 hour hike. And it was so, so stunning. But at one point we went to like a lookout point and then we got stuck behind like a 50 person child, like field trip of third graders. So, like, you know, you're walking and you can like see a massive group ahead and you're like, oh no, we're going to be stuck behind them. And I was like, oh great, we're going to be stuck behind a field trip. Tell me why this was the most peaceful, pleasant experience, because kids in other countries are not psycho demons. Like, these children were so well behaved. Like, I did not mind at all. Like, I feel like I was part of the field trip. Like, we're just like all one by one in a single file. And like, we slowly were passing them. But I was like, if we don't pass this group of like third graders, I don't mind. They're so polite and peaceful and well behaved. And I've been talking to some other people that I've met while traveling Thailand, Vietnam, and here. I'm in Tokyo now. And the kids here are just so well behaved. It's insane.
I want to know so much more. And this is making me think, you know how we did our 8 Dimensions of Wellness series each year?
Yeah.
I feel like we should do a like travel itinerary series for some of these places that we've spent longer amounts of time in. Because now, like with Tulum, I'm getting so many DMs of people being like, where do I go? What do I do? And like, how are you supposed to recap the last, like basically what, you've been gone almost like a month? How do you recap that in 10 minutes?
I don't know. Because even like that's literally one day. And like I still have 2 weeks more to say. But really quick recap. I will say I went to Vietnam for a week on a BD shoot. It was so much fun. I worked with Svenja and Connor, and it was just such a good group. I feel like so many people are amazing on their own, but it's a group's chemistry that really makes or break a trip. And I feel like our group had such good chemistry. Like, everyone was just such a chiller. Cracking jokes, so much fun. Svenja's German. Connor is from Canada / he's like Irish. His mom's Indian, his dad's Irish. I don't know. So it was cool, like, being with different people. And we were teaching Svenja like all these words and like slang and stuff. And it was so much fun. We were just like cracking up the whole time. And yeah, so much to say. We went to Lang Co and Hanoi and absolutely love Vietnam. I want to go back and spend more time there. It's like so cheap. I know this is going to sound cliche, but I like fully get the hype for Asia now. I have not spent a lot of time out here. This is like my first big Asia trip. And I'm like, wow, I get why people move here. I get why my brother moved to Thailand. Like, it all makes sense now because it's just like one of the first times on a trip I've like truly felt like I'm in a different place. Like, even just being in Japan, I'm in Japan now for 3 days. I'm doing like a long layover. I'm on day 3 and like the culture is so different. Like, the beauty standards are different. The ways of life are different. Like, in Vietnam, people would wake up at 6 a.m. Everyone's up at 6 a.m. playing sports outside. Like, they're playing badminton in the streets. They're like doing Zumba. They're dancing. Like, here, like, just everything's different. And I'm like, wow, this is like the first time I'm like fully feeling like I'm on a different planet, like, of not feeling like I know what I'm doing. And I'm like having to like look things up and like ask questions and stuff. So that's kind of my recap. Maybe I can get like a more in-depth on TikTok or something, because you're right, there's like so much to say. But I'm leaving today. I leave later tonight, starting my way back to the US. And luckily, Tokyo is a really easy place to get to. I know that sounds crazy, but like, it's a 9.5 hour flight to San Francisco. And then I fly San Francisco back to St. Louis for 3 hours. So like, that's really not bad at all.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like such a bucket list trip. I agree about Asia and everyone living in Bali. I fear if I go, I will just never come back.
No, I know. That's such a fair. Like, I'm like, when we were in Bangkok, I was like, I could totally live here, which is just like a big city, but it's like so cheap and like so clean and nice. And Tokyo too. I'm like, I could totally live here. Like, the people are just so lovely. Like, anything you do, everyone does it with grace and with kindness. Like, there's no loud. And also, I'm like, if you notice I'm podcasting really quiet, I'm like, it's just like a quiet country. Like, I feel like I'm being loud in my room. Everyone's just so respectful and nice. So I know. Oh, I feel like I'm doing like a little study abroad. It's like, I've been gone for a whole month, and it's like, I'm so lucky that I get to do that. So
my misophonia and germaphobeness sounds like it would be very happy in Japan.
No, you need to come immediately. I have so many takeaways. That's definitely one of them, is like how quiet it is. And also, random side note, I don't have to wear AirPods walking around because I don't feel like someone's going to harass me or like scare me. Like, any other major city I go to, I'm like always have headphones in, because like, especially New York or like Chicago, anywhere, like, people, crazies will come up to you and like beg for money or harass you or like legitimately try to terrorize you. And it's so nice being here. This is like the first city where I feel like I can just like not have my headphones in and no one's going to come up to me and like harass me or try to scam me. Or like, you can like walk around without a purpose. And that is like so freeing.
Oh my gosh. I know. That shouldn't be uncommon.
It's so unfair, like, especially as like females, that we should think about that, because I'm sure guys are like doing that anyways. But no, I can visibly tell the difference when I'm wearing headphones or not, walking with a purpose, like, you know, looking straight ahead, like all these things I do in like a New York or a Chicago, so that I don't get terrorized. But like, it's so freeing being here, not having to do that. So that's my like really quick recap. Anything else that we want to catch up on before we do Peaks of the Week?
I think you should share how you ended up in Japan with the layover.
I know. Okay, yes. So originally, when I was booking my flight back, I was flying Vietnam back to St. Louis, and it was like $950. But then I was thinking about a stopover. There's so many airlines that have these stopover programs where basically the airlines, to promote tourism, will allow you to do 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a city without having to book like a one way to that city and then another one way out of that city. It's like, it's a multi-city ticket, but it's like a stopover program. And I'm flying on ANA Airlines, which is a Japanese airline. They're a partner of United. So I literally just went on United and put in multi-city Vietnam, to Tokyo than Tokyo to St. Louis. And it was literally cheaper to stop here for two nights. It was $300 cheaper to do that than to go back straight to St. Louis from Hanoi. So I'm like, okay, if anyone at work is going to argue this, I'm like, no, I literally saved you guys $300. I mean, I don't know why they would, but it doesn't matter. I'm still like working remote and stuff and doing my job. But I just had to take advantage of that because I'm like, this is, it's like how you said, when people have time to go to Asia, like that's why I feel, I'm like, dang, I should have gotten here sooner because it's like so amazing, but it's so hard to get over here. And like, once you get over here, you need to spend at least 2 weeks here. And like 99% of the population cannot just go somewhere for 2 weeks at a time. So I'm like, okay, once I saw that they did that and it was cheaper, I'm like, I have to do this because you never know when you can do it again. So that's the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like the longer flight makes it such a commitment. And like, don't get me wrong, I love being in Tulum, but a big part of why I chose it is because it's just like, okay, I can go Tulum, Dallas, Dallas to Omaha in like a pretty quick amount of time. Being that this is the first country I moved abroad, I feel like that was a good stepping stone. But I want to be in Europe, or I want to go to Australia or Southeast Asia. And I'm like, then I would have to really have my shit together in order to figure out how to do like these longer chunks. Cause like with the shop and family, I can just like go back every 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're validating that that's the commitment.
No, it definitely is a commitment. So that's why I'm like, okay, I'm going to go now before life happens. And then I'm like, oh, it's really hard to get here. I will say, if you're on the West Coast, it is a lot easier. Like Hannah came out to Thailand for a week and I was like, is that going to be, it was like 8 days. I was wondering if that was going to be too short. And she's like, no, I'm so glad I did it. Cause it's like, it's better than nothing. And I agree. So
that is so true, because we have to, as Midwesterners, get all the way to a coast before we can go over the ocean.
Yeah, that's already like 4 hours in itself, which like adds up,
uh-huh.
Especially with like a long day of travel. And if your flight on the West Coast isn't direct to where you're trying to go in Asia too, that's where it gets like so exhausting. But yeah, luckily I'm direct back to the US after this.
Well, how fun.
Yeah. Should we do peaks of the week?
Okay, I have a funny peak of the week for myself. My parasite is gone, I think, because I'm starting to feel a little bit better and I'm not so bloated and inflamed. So it's a win.
Oh, good. No, that's amazing. I'm very happy to hear that that situation has resolved itself. Like, so good.
Yeah, if you guys are coming down to Mexico or anywhere else, maybe you should deworm after your month abroad, too.
Okay, yeah, that's scary.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, yeah, my doctor does like the parasite testing and I had to do that recently and I don't know if I can do that again. I don't know if I can poop in a cup again. It's so bad.
I know.
I did buy all this natural parasite cleanse stuff when I thought that I had one, which luckily I didn't have one, but maybe I can just take those because I wasted like $80 in a panic buying a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. So maybe I can take all that stuff when I get back. You're right.
I know. I got silver from Symbiotica because it's supposed to, I don't know, I like contacted the lady and I was like, hey, I live in Mexico now and got parasites. Like, what do I need? So I got the silver and some long word with a G, and have been taking those.
Glutathione.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eating garlic every day. I read online that it's like supposed to help a lot of things, actually. And mm-hmm. Now I'm low-key addicted to garlic. Something about that pungentness is like so satisfying.
Ooh, I love garlic. Yeah, it's like antimicrobial powers benefit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's antibacterial, antiviral, and antimicrobial.
Yeah.
Why are these words so hard?
Words are hard today. No, I'm like, I'm with you. No, that's great. Ugh, garlic girlies. I love that. I have a friend who like literally eats straight raw garlic a lot. Not, I was going to say 24/7, but that's too much, but to like fight off immunity stuff. So I get it.
I know. I packed some in my backpack when I went to Omaha and I like took the day off that I was traveling because I was like, I don't want to be that person on the plane that is reeking to everyone next to me. But then I got the whole row to myself, actually. So I could have been garlic girl.
I love that. We love a whole row to yourself, especially not to spread the garlic spread. Don't want to be spreading that garlic smell too much. Okay, my peak of the week is, I will say, I had a great day. We got so lucky with like our shoot schedule. We had a whole morning and evening to just explore in Hanoi. And me, Connor, Svenja just like walked around. We bought flowers from a lady. We like, there's like this lake. We just like leisurely stroll. We got like a coffee, went shopping. It was so nice. And like, I feel like I actually got to see Hanoi because I was worried since I was going to be shooting hotels that we were going to be like stuck in the hotels and just like not being able to leave and like actually go see the city. But also we just had like the most amazing weather. It was like sunny and 75. It was just like peak travel day. I'm like, getting to like do things, walk around, went to like a cocktail bar at night that was like super vibey. And yeah, it was just a really good trip. And Svenja was really good. Shout out to Svenja. She was asking us like really good questions. And she was saying, she's like, you don't realize how not deep you go with even some of your closest friendships because you're like not asking the right questions. And she had this Instagram account that she was pulling up. I'll link it in the show notes that I think it's called like Flamingo or something that asks really good questions. And one of the days, like one of the days we got dinner, she like had pulled it out. It was like one of the first days. And I literally was like, I started crying answering some of these questions. Like they were that deep. And then we like kind of bonded as a group so much more. And I was even thinking about some of my friendships or like friend groups in St. Louis or back home. I'm like, wow, I've never talked about any of these topics with these people, but I like talked about this with people that like, because I had just met Svenja back in Lake Como like 3 weeks ago. So I'm like, this is crazy that you like don't get to these like levels with your, some of your friendships. And it is just about like asking questions.
Yeah. Vulnerability is really key to deepening that emotional intimacy. So I love that. That's a really good shout. And especially with the holidays coming up, I feel like that's a good reminder for friends and family that we're around over the next coming weeks to ask more than how's work going?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, listener peaks. Okay, Mia said her peak of the week was building community in a new city. We love that. Totally aligns with everything that we've been talking about. And it's very Already Friends podcast coded.
Wow, this one from Julie is amazing. She said, got a new job as a therapist at a free mental health clinic for teens and young adults. Congratulations. I'm sure that feels so good knowing the difference you're going to make.
Macy said, I just saw Wicked last night and it was so amazing. Oh, that sounds so fun. I cannot wait to go see the movie when I get home.
Maddie said, took the week off of work for a reset. Facial and massage is scheduled. I love that. Good for you.
As always, send your peaks on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast, and we post that story box every Monday. Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code alreadyfriends at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code alreadyfriends to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, Already Friends at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay, let's get into what would you rest you do? We have four really good questions. So I think we need to get started ASAP because we want to answer them all. Okay, question number one. My partner expressed interest in an open relationship, but I'm not sure how I feel about that. What are your thoughts?
Oh boy, what are my thoughts? I have lots of thoughts. The first thing that you need to do is read the book, The Ethical Slut. That is like a blueprint guidebook for how to have an open relationship in a respectful, loving way. And there's so much that goes into it, and it's definitely not for everyone. But I think both parties or any parties involved in a potential open relationship should read that first. And then that will help you consider if that's even something that you actually want or if this is like a fleeting fantasy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to describe it because I feel like it's kind of like choosing a whole new lifestyle. Is that what you want for yourself? Yeah, is that something that that book talks about? Like, it's kind of like you're changing your beliefs about relationships if you like go into an open relationship. Because do you want to go more into like what that is kind of saying?
Well, one defense I want to make for open relationships is that people's big thing that they say against open relationships is like, oh, well, they're not loyal or dedicated or committed. And part of entering an open relationship is defining what those terms mean to you. Because to some people, loyal means loyal to one person. To where, like, think of your friendships. You can be loyal to 2, 3, 4 friendships. If you have multiple siblings, you can be loyal to all of your siblings. But oftentimes in a relationship, we think of loyalty in regards to monogamy. Like, I'm emotionally, physically, sexually loyal to one person. But I think that there's a lot of undiscussed expectations around monogamous relationships where two parties might have very different ideas around the boundaries. To what might bother one person could be completely okay with another person. And that can change person to person. That can change as you grow. That can change as your lifestyle changes, as your income, as you meet other people and gain new perspectives. You might feel as you go on in life like that you actually want to close your relationship even more and become very committed to one person and be like, this is my life partner. I want to have kids with this person. Or you might move into a lifestyle where you're like, you know what, right now, like being a little bit more free-spirited and open-minded is what's serving me. And I don't think that there's a right or wrong way. I think each season of life could benefit from either option. I mean, when you think about it and you're just like, oh, I'm out dating people, that's still open in some sort of ways. You're going on dates, you're seeing multiple people, you're giving your time and energy to a couple individuals. I think it's possible to be in a relationship with a primary partner and still give time to other people. But yeah, it's just going to take a lot of trust, a lot of communication. And I would suggest setting the tone right from the very beginning, because if you start off in a sleazy way of trying to hide things or not fully communicating your needs or wants, then that's going to ripple into how that could unfold for you. Because if you start off being like, oh, okay, this is the boundary, and then you do something that crosses the boundary, why would someone then be okay with something, a further boundary crossed later down the line?
No, that's all super interesting. I think if you're not sure how you feel about it and your partner has brought it up to you, kind of what you just said, like, why don't you sit down and like really ask yourself what you're looking for in a partner? Because is it marriage? Like, are you trying to find someone, like you said, that you're trying to have kids with, be with? And like, is that one person undeniable loyalty? Is that what means the most to you? I mean, we have so much free will in this life. Like, I feel like you need to sit down and be like, do I want to try this out? Is this so against everything I believe in? Like, I don't think either of us can answer it for you, but I think that's like amazing insight. And that's a great way to, that's a great resource to point somebody to if like they are interested in it as well. But what's your gut say? Sit down, write out your thoughts, because there's so many people doing life so differently. And like, if you maybe do feel like you want to do life differently and you wanted a little bit of reassurance, I feel like this is it. Like, not everything has to be so standard, but if it is like feeling super wrong to you, then I feel like you need to also like address that head on and be like, hey, if that's something you want to do, that's amazing. Love that for you, but it's not going to be with me.
Yeah. And then the other thing I'll say is just because you open a relationship doesn't mean you can't close it later down the line. I have a couple friends who I'm very close with, and they've been together for a really long time. And many years ago, they had an open relationship for years. And now it's been closed for a few years. And I was talking to them about it a couple months ago. And one of the parties was like, I would really like to open it back up, but like, I'm not sure that the other party wants to. So I'm kind of like feeling it out. And I think as long as there's respect and love and you have commitment to your partner and you know that you can trust them to come to you with those wants and needs, then it's okay to ebb and flow with that. And yeah, it's just, there's so many boundaries. And I actually think what's fascinating about this entire conversation is how much is just speculation in a monogamous relationship of like where you assume the boundaries are. So even if you are someone who's in a fully, quote, standard monogamous relationship, I highly encourage you to sit down with your partner and discuss what those boundaries are. I've shouted it before, but I have this post on Lemonade that's like 50 questions to ask your partner, is this cheating or not cheating? And it has gained a lot of traction because the comment section is all over the place. Some people are like, oh my God, if my boyfriend had a girl sit on his lap at the club, like I would kill him. And then the other people are like, okay, who cares? Like it's a hot girl at a club. Like he's coming home to you. And so it's like, it's so funny how mixed the answers and our perceptions of what someone's intent is. So that's truly between you and your partner to decide. And there's no wrong way. And also don't let outside societal standards pressure you one way or the other, whether that's pressuring you to stay in a monogamous relationship because that's what's traditional to your family or your culture. And also don't feel pressured to have an open relationship because you feel like, oh, this is trendy and cool. And this is like what people are doing these days. Like both are great options.
Yeah, you need to go with what your gut and your heart are saying because you're right. You can't, we're all our own people and like your love and your relationships are not a trend. But that's great advice. Oh my gosh, love that.
All right, question number two.
Yeah.
Hi, I bought a ticket to go to a music festival with a couple of friends. I've been sober for almost 2 years, but I wasn't that worried as I knew one of the other girls going but also doesn't drink that much. However, I just found out that all of them are planning on doing other types of drugs while at the festival. And now I'm on the fence and about going and being the only one who's fully sober. Should I sell my ticket or is there any way I can still have fun?
Hi, person who's done this before, been the sober friend while everyone was doing things. I still had fun. So it honestly depends on who you are as a person. If you, well, so many things. Like one, are you going to feel pressured to do things that you don't want to do? Then I wouldn't go. If like you feel like you're actually fully going to like fall into it and like, you know, that's not a good environment to put yourself in. I don't know what kind of like sober journey you're having or have had. But if you don't feel like you're going to fall into like any peer pressure or putting yourself in like a situation you don't even put yourself into, I say go. Like life's short. When are you going to get to go to a music festival with your friends? But also, are they like good friends that aren't going to like make you be their mom and like babysit them? Like, are they friends that are fully capable and like self-reliant? Because if they are like going on this, like, I don't know, going on the idea that maybe you're going to like take care of them and like be their, I don't know, mama goose, leaving them around, unless you're okay with that. Like if that was me too, I would still be fine with that. But I think you would still have a lot of fun. And I don't think you should sell your ticket. But if I could see a situation where I'm like kind of already annoyed with the friend group, and like then if they're going to be like annoying and like, you know, if you're not that close to them, I could see where maybe it's like not fun. But if they're your good friends, I still think you'd have a good time. What do you think?
Yeah, all of that. And also, what is your interest in this music festival? Like, are you really passionate about seeing the artists? If so, then cool, go with your friends and just kind of have like your own little solo experience there and vibe with the music and people watch and have a good time. But if you were mostly going just to be around your friends, then I feel like, okay, skip it and do something with them later where you guys can be more on the same wavelength.
Yeah, that's so true. Because it's fun to like wear your outfits and yeah, see the music if you actually like the music. But if this was like what you were trying to do to like catch up with your friends and hang out, maybe you're going to feel a little, I don't know, not part of the group. That sounds bad. But I feel like as long as you're going to actually enjoy the festival and be in good company, I feel like you're still going to have fun. Don't let this stop you.
But if you do decide to go, I commend you for that because it's hard to be in a situation where you kind of feel like the odd person out. So sending you good luck and good vibes with that. And whatever decision you make is right for you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Question number three. Hi, friends. What to do when your family does not approve of your travel aspirations? I try not to have their opinions affect me, but it's hard when you don't have the support of your family. My mom passed away earlier this year, and I've been considering quitting my job to travel and heal. My family thinks it's a waste of money and that it's not a good idea to quit your job just to travel.
Oof. First of all, I'm so sorry about your mom. I can't imagine how hard this season is for you. And it makes a lot of sense that a coping mechanism you're turning to is wanting to take space from your current location and have some solitude and time to slow down and process what's going on. I think traveling to process grief is a good way to do it, because a lot of times in our day-to-day life, we can't slow down enough to really feel those feelings, but that doesn't mean that they go away. That trauma isn't stored in the body until a time when you can go and process it. So whether you decide to do this now or later, it's going to happen at some point. And I think the sooner that you can make peace with that, the better, because then your whole life is going to continue to be affected. And there are some destinations on the planet that are more conducive for healing, that have a culture or workshops, ceremonies that can lend to this process that might not be available at your current location. And it's common that in situations right away, when you do something out of the norm, that there's a little bit of pushback right away. But I think in time, as people start to see like, oh, this was a good thing for you, you seem to be doing better, clearly this is making you happy, or you're having an experience and it's serving you, they start to be like, okay, I understand more. But because that's not what they want to do, they don't want to spend their money traveling, it's hard for them to understand why you would want to do that. But you don't even really have to convince them that that would make sense for them, because I have family and friends who hardly travel, but they respect that is a huge part of my life. And I respect for them that they love to stay home, and that's okay. And I don't need to change them, and they don't have to change me. We just choose to live our lives in different ways. So I say do it. There will be pushback. There might be some cold shoulders at the beginning, but clearly your heart wants this. And I encourage you to go find out there what you need.
Yes, I agree. I say book that flight immediately. I'm sorry, but these opinions of your family does not matter, especially because I'm sorry, like, what previous traditional career path is so amazing that is going to make your life so amazing and so stable? Because like, that doesn't exist. I just feel like this lie of like having a traditional career and like climbing the corporate ladder, like, doesn't exist anymore. So I'm sorry, but like, what delusion is your family living in that like you can't go travel and you're gonna have a horrible, terrible, unsuccessful life if you take 6 months or a year off? Like, if that was like rational and logic, maybe I would agree with them, but that literally doesn't make any sense. Like, that is, could not be further from the truth. Also, a little preview into our guest for next week, but we're having on a guest who literally went and traveled the world and then went on to have one of the most successful companies in like modern times. So if anything, I feel like this is like going to push you into becoming and stepping into like the next person that you're supposed to become. And I feel like this is going to be such a big part of your chapter of your life. And if anything, I'm only seeing like the positives, the pros, like they're jumping out at me, like all these positive things that are going to come from this experience. And like, money's going to come back around. The time is not. And a job, you're going to get a job afterwards. If anything, I would want someone working at my company that's well-traveled and like has seen things. It gives you such a good perspective. So I think I couldn't imagine a better place to heal, like you said, and process and stuff. So I think you absolutely need to do it. And it's going to be hard. Like you said, it's going to be hard to say no to your family and stuff, but you cannot live your life for other people.
No. And to tie into Kara's point of the lie about a 9-to-5 job being so secure, I was watching the new Netflix documentary called Buy Now, I think. It's like all about the overconsumption. And the main lady that they were interviewing, she worked for Amazon for like 16 years, basically like built Amazon and just got fired one day out of the blue. And she's like, I literally helped build this massive, massive corporation. And they now have made an unbelievable amount of money. gave 16 years to them to just get fired on, like, just one day. Okay, you're done. So you do not owe these companies your life. Like, it does not matter. There are so many jobs. There are so many ways to make money. And the more you travel, I honestly am at a point where I'm overwhelmed with how many ways there are to make money and how many jobs and different routes my life could go, that I feel more stuck of like, fuck, I want to do this and this and I'm missing out on that, versus like sitting here like, oh my God, there's like no jobs and there's no ways to make money. Like, literally everyone you meet is doing something amazing. Like, the world keeps going. There's a lot of money on this planet. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, literally just like a homestay exchange or like work at a hostel, like even just like breaking even or like funding that life for 6 months or a year. That's great. As long as you're not going into debt, I don't see what all the fuss is about. I think your family needs to, they need to open themselves up to how monumental this would be for you. So I hope that you do it. Keep us updated, please.
And also thank you for asking this question. I can't imagine that you thought that we would say don't travel, but this is the reassurance and the reasons behind it. All right, question number 4. Hello, I have a question regarding choosing a location to live. I have been born and raised in the same state my whole life. I'm from the Midwest. I'm noticing as I get older that I crave a new start in a new location, preferably a destination with a beautiful landscape, lake, beach, mountains, etc. I'm in grad school right now for a career in healthcare, so I have no doubt I can find a job anywhere I choose. Now, how do I choose? I'd prefer to stay in the US, but still, the options seem endless. I don't know how to narrow down the place I'd like to live or where to live first. How would you guys go about this?
This is hard. I mean, the easiest answer is to say, like, go visit some of these places. Like, you do a little weekend trip, fly in. You know, can you make a list of like 5 places that you're actually considering? And can you do a little weekend trip or even maybe take a couple weeks off and like road trip around to the other spots? But I feel like I don't think I could move somewhere without boots on the ground seeing it. I know people do this all the time, but I would want to see it. So I would say make a list and maybe do like a variety. Like if you pick like one lake town, pick one beach town, one mountain town, and try to visit them. It sounds like you're in grad school, so maybe you have some more time. Maybe throughout this whole next year, if you can try to do that. I know that's going to be expensive, but that's like my only thought is like you have to get boots on the ground and see it. Maybe if you can do like some traveling healthcare jobs, but I don't know if that's like what field you're in. What do you think, Allison?
Completely agree. Clay and I did the same thing after we graduated. We did 1 month road trip west, like to the northeast, because we had a bunch of places in mind there. And then 1 month road trip to the northeast. And we came back and we were like, you know what? The grass was greener. Omaha's not that bad. We like toured apartments and it just didn't feel like a big yes at the time for any of the places that we had on this pedestal. But I'm glad that we figured that out before just relocating our entire lives across the country. On the flip side, I think after now moving to Tulum, that moving out of your hometown forces you to make a home within yourself that kind of can't be done in your hometown, because you realize like you can't lean on all of the things you've ever known. And so your place of dwelling becomes that. It's just like, okay, this is my apartment or this is my house. And you realize that your body is more your home, that no matter where you go, like you have yourself first. So I do think that that is a really good lesson to learn in life. No matter where you relocate, that will probably happen. And each destination that you go to is going to teach you different things. So even if it's, quote, a bad experience, it's still going to be an experience that lends you to the next step of life, because a lot of figuring out what we want is figuring out what we don't want. And even like going on that road trip, spending all that money to go on the 1 month to the West Coast and the money to go on the East Coast, like it was still a very fun road trip. And I look back on that fondly. It doesn't mean that the road trip was a waste of money because we didn't end up finding the place we want to live. And like with Tulum, I don't want to live in Tulum forever. It's cool. I like it. It's suitable for me right now, but this is just another step in the journey. I have so many places I want to live. I want to live in Amsterdam. I want to live in Australia. I want to live in Argentina. I want to live in Montreal. And you said that you mostly want to live in the US, but now it's such an open world. Piggybacking off of the previous question, like there are so many ways to make money. There are so many things that you can do in life that we don't have to be so location dependent anymore for such a long time. You could live in a city for 1 to 3 years and then move to another place and work in another place for 1 to 3 years. Like, I think companies are getting way more used to employee turnover. Gone are the days of having employees that you hire at 23 and they stay there till retirement. That's just not the norm anymore. So you don't have to live your life in that way and limit it just because that was how it was for many years.
I 1000% agree. So maybe just try to find, like you said, what you don't like. I think that's a great starting point. And, or even just like, can you go stay with some friends in these cities? It doesn't have to be so expensive. I think you just need to get your boots on the ground because I feel like that's where you really can feel like, okay, this is a good area for me or not. Because yeah, it would suck to like spend thousands of dollars moving to find out you like don't vibe with the place. So if you can get like some good feelers before making that commitment, I think that's the best case scenario.
I'm sorry, I have one more thing to add. But now with Airbnb and the Facebook groups of like housing swaps, you could definitely book an Airbnb for a month or find an apartment trade or find a sublet. There are endless Facebook groups, literally like type Tulum sublet, Chicago sublet, San Francisco sublet, and you will find someone who wants to rent out their apartment for a couple weeks, couple months, whatever. And I feel like that would be a good way to ease into it because you might be like, oh my God, I'm so happy I moved to Seattle, but I wish I would have known about this neighborhood instead because my experience would have been so much better if I lived here instead of there. And that's not something you're probably going to know until you spend a little bit of time there. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely recommend a short-term living option before signing a lease or buying a house.
Absolutely. I think that's the best advice you could give. Okay, amazing. Well, thank you guys so much for being here for another What Would Your Bestie Do? We hope these help. Please send in your questions. Again, it's ourfriendspodcast.com/WWYBD and send an update if you took her advice. Give us an update of what happened.
Thanks so much for listening and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.